In southeast Georgia, just above the Florida border, there's a vast and famous swamp, the Okefenokee. More than 400,000 acres of black water, pine and cypress trees, endangered woodpeckers, wilderness.
You know, one of the things that is so wonderful about this place is the calm, the peace, the quiet, the solitude that people feel.
And of course, it's famous for alligators, like the one that just sloshed into the water. About 15,000 live here, so many it's hard not to see one. They're one reason the Okefenokee gets 600,000 annual visits from people all over the world. Susie Heisey is the supervisory refuge ranger at Okefenokee National Wildlife Refuge.
It just seems as if this place, people gravitate to this place. People want to see it. People want to learn about it. And people want to protect it.
So a proposal to mine for heavy minerals near the Okefenokee raises alarm for many. They don't want anything to harm this wilderness. The main concern for many is the hydrology, what's going to happen to the water underground. Chip Campbell runs boat tours and rentals at the Wildlife Refuge and sits on the board of St. Mary's Riverkeeper.
It's literally one of those subjects that's out of sight. But, you know, that groundwater is really and a really important part of the overall hydrological regime of a landscape. And we all have to have water. Every plant, animal, human, you know, every industry, you know, I mean, water is absolutely the staple of life.
If you disturb the ground to dig up minerals, you could also disrupt what the water does underground and how much of it there is for the swamp and the rivers and other parts of the ecosystem to use. There is already heavy mineral mining in the area, about 11 miles from the swamp's northeastern edge. Mining for minerals in sand is different from mining for coal. The mine digs up a relatively small area at a time and separates out the heavy minerals like titanium and zirconium. It's a bit like panning for gold on an industrial scale.
And all it really is a series of pumps and pipes and spirals. So the heavy minerals are separated from the lighter quartz minerals by the different specific gravity of the minerals.
The lighter sandy soil goes back into the ground where it came from. Then they replace the topsoil and replant the trees. Jim Renner is the manager of environmental stewardship for Southern Ionics, the company behind this mine.
I have got 7 years of hydrologic monitoring data that shows exactly that the temporary dewatering effect of our mine on adjacent areas is indistinguishable from the natural variations of the water table going up and down due to natural wet and dry cycles.
Twin Pines Minerals says the same is true of the mine they're proposing southeast of the refuge. Stephen Engel is the company's president.
With all the studies that we've done, with all of our experts have taken a look at it, they've modeled it in very much so detail, and there's assurances that it will have minimal, if any, effect at all.
You know, you remember the old trust but verify.
That's Chip Campbell again. He wants to see Twin Pines science before making up his mind.
This is one of those cases where we got to have the verify. We have to have the verification. If I thought that this was, in fact, an existential threat to either Okefenokee Swamp or St. Mary's River, we would be having a very different conversation. And I would be killing them, you know, with the science.
Stephen Engel of Twin Pines says they'll provide their hydrologic reports if regulators ask. The Army Corps of Engineers wants the reports. Twin Pines says they'll be available no sooner than September. The public comment period for the project ends September 12th. Even if the hydrology bears out, Charles McMillan of the Georgia Conservancy is still skeptical.
It's hard to envision something this close of this magnitude next to the swamp that would not have a significant impact.
McMillan has concerns beyond the hydrology, like the gopher tortoise. They're an important and rare species, not listed as endangered in Georgia, but considered a candidate for listing. Twin Pines plans to work around the gopher tortoise burrows or relocate them, which Southern Ionics does too at their active mine. But McMillan says the gopher tortoises could still end up cut off from each other.
If mining proceeds through there and everybody relocates their gopher tortoises, then pretty soon genetically those communities are going to be isolated.
And then there's the question of what happens after the mine is gone. For some, the Twin Pines proposal for what's called reclaiming the mined land is encouraging. They plan to plant native longleaf pine, the trees that originally grew in this whole area and provide habitat for the endangered red-cockaded woodpecker. That's instead of the current slash pine and loblolly pine used for timber. It's appealing to Chip Campbell.
Usually it's working timberland, and they put it back into working timberland. And it's a juicy carrot, to be sure, to even have the prospect that they, you know, might be part of the longleaf initiative, you know, the restoration of the longleaf pine fire forest.
Charles McMillan of the Georgia Conservancy calls the longleaf pine a step in the right direction, but only a localized improvement.
So you look at a project like this, site-specific improvements, and then landscape impacts, and then also maybe even regional. When you have something as big as a 400,000-plus acre swamp, if you're looking at impacting the hydrology of that, that's a regional impact.
An impact that for McMillan would outweigh a few thousand acres of longleaf pine. He and other advocates are calling for a more thorough environmental review called an environmental impact statement before this project's permit goes forward. Twin Pines Minerals is hosting two public meetings on their proposal this month. For GPB News, I'm Emily Jones in Folkestone.